When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the Niler 9 podcast. It is episode 126 of the Niler 9 podcast and myself, Niler 9 and Andrea Cleary on the other line. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. I'm great. I'm excited.
Great.
Good to be here.
So we're going to be talking about a very specific topic, which is in the news right now, but we're going to discuss the Grammys. It's something that, you know, comes around every year about people wonder about how the process works. What is the Grammys? Is it important? Does it matter? How do you win one? All those kind of things. As of Sunday night, just gone.
As you listen,
the Grammys has taken place and the winners have been anointed.
Congratulations and to Fontaine's DC. amazing stuff. or and Niall, you can edit this as appropriate. Commiserations to Fontaine's DC. Hard luck.
Yes. Nominated for Best Rock Album. So,
yeah.
I mean, the first Irish nomination in quite a while, which is always, you know, something interesting. We don't often have an Irish angle with the Grammys. Yeah, so I'd just like to also say a big shout out to everyone who's on our Patreon and our Discord server this week.
Oh my God, our Discord. I love it.
A new development since last week, since our last episode. We have a private community chat for all Patreon members to chat about music. And it's just been so nice. We did a choice music prize watch along, kind of a text along thing. So congratulations to Denise Chyla for winning the best Irish album of the year, according to the choice music prize judges. We did not pick that in our last episode.
No, and boy, are our faces red. Oh yeah, boy.
They are. But you know, you just never know who's going to win, and I wouldn't say it was a massive surprise, but you know, we're big fans of Denise around here. She's a legend and eloquent pharaoh and king. So, you know, fair play and congratulations. It was a bit strange, obviously, watching it all online instead. I had the phantom limb muscle memory thing of like, I need to go and drink a rake of pints now.
I know.
After this. But it was the afternoon, Thursday afternoon, and instead I went for a walk.
Yeah, I just got back to work. It was really odd. But it was so lovely to have our lovely Discord friends there. And we have like an album club now going on. It's so lovely. Yeah. And if anybody wants to join the Discord, you can go to patreon.com/Niler9 and you'll have access to the Discord. We may, I haven't discussed this with Niall, but we may cap access to the Discord at a certain number. So I would do that sooner rather than later, just because it's a nice
to me.
it's a small community and we don't want loads of people in it.
Yeah,
so
I think the main thing, you know, it was something that I was missing, especially with the last year of an entire year of a pandemic. You're like, the random chats with music, with people who love music as well, in an office or otherwise, or at gigs. Don't have it. Don't have it anymore.
And you don't want to be, because otherwise it becomes Twitter and you don't want that. So yeah, come on over. It's really nice.
So it's a nice,
people are making
safe
friends.
Space.
It's great.
Yeah. It's very, it's small, it's private. It's a safe space to discuss music. We're sharing albums and having chats about things. So it's been really, really lovely. And sharing pictures of our pets is another thing we're doing.
Oh, immediately. The first thing I did as soon as you made me an admin is I set up a pets section. I don't know how Discord works, but like a little chat.
Yeah, channel.
Channel.
Pets channel.
Pets channel. And people are sending in their pets. It's great. I thought about doing a pet of the week, but they're all excellent girls and boys. So shout out to all the pets as well.
And the Grammy goes to Billie Eilish. When we fall asleep, where do we go?
Producer Phineas O'Connell. Engineers John Greenham, Rob Kanelski, and Phineas O'Connell. Songwriters.
Back to this week, the Grammys. I'm going to tell you about the Grammys, Niall, because
okay.
The thing is, no one knows anything about the Grammys. And I don't know anything about the Grammys. And no one really cares about the Grammys. So I thought it would be a perfect idea to make a whole episode about the Grammys. No, this is for people who are wondering, how do I win a Grammy?
How do we win a Grammy? Yeah. I want to enter into the Grammys in the next 10 years and win a Grammy.
Yeah, this is how you do it. So the Grammys, I'm going to hit you with some Grammy facts first. So the Grammys claim to celebrate artistic achievement, technical proficiency, and overall excellence in the recording industry without regard to album sales or chart position. Remember that, because that will be important later. It's one of the big four American award ceremonies, in the others being Oscars for film, the Emmys for TV, is that right? And then the Tonys is theatre. And then if you get all four, there's a thing that you are, and I can't remember what it's called. That's an abbreviation of all four of them.
Yeah, it's anyway. An EGOT, as coined by 30 Rock, I believe.
Okay, so Grammy facts. The working title for the Grammys was the Eddies, which was to honor the inventor of the phonograph, Thomas Edison, but they decided on using Grammy as a tribute to Emil Berliner's gramophone, which is nice. First Grammys, May 4th, 1959, at the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This year is the 63rd. Well. The 13th Grammys in 1971 were the very first to be televised. The Grammys red carpet, 500 feet long, 80 feet wide. The Grammys have been held in three cities, LA, New York, and one other city only once. Have a little guess what it is.
Chicago? Why would I pick Chicago?
Nashville. No. You were never going to pick it.
Nashville, yeah.
The Grammy itself is made out of a material called gramium, seems fake, and it weighs 6 pounds. Only two people have been trusted with making the awards ever. They're like specialist people who make the awards. They are Bob Graves, who made them from 1958 to 1984, and John Billings, who has made them until now and is still making them since 1985. And finally, for my Grammy facts, three US presidents have won a Grammy. Can you name them?
Oh, I know why. For audiobooks and stuff, right? Obama definitely won one for his audiobook. Am I
correct?
Right?
Yes, Obama did win a Grammy.
That's correct. I feel like Clinton played on some album that he won a Grammy for. Am I wrong?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton has won a Grammy.
He played on a jazz album or something like that. And,
noted saxophonist. I don't know if you'll get the third. The third is Jimmy Carter.
Right. Okay. Wouldn't have got
and
that
I don't know what he won it for. I didn't actually, didn't look
just
it up.
Totally.
Wasn't part of my fact. I like my facts to be short and sweet.
I'll tell you why he won a Grammy.
Yeah.
He was,
yeah. Go
he
on,
was known as a rock and roll president, apparently. Oh, spoken word album, of course.
Oh.
That's how you win a Grammy these days.
Something that tends to confuse a lot of people about the Grammys is the difference between Record of the Year and Song of the Year. So I'm going to get that out of the way at the beginning.
Yes.
So the Record of the Year recognizes, this is from the Grammys website, recognizes the artist's performance as well as the overall contributions of the producers, recording engineers, and or mixers if they are separate to the performing artist. The Song of the Year category recognizes the songwriters who wrote and composed the song. So very different categories, often mixed up.
It's not like other awards where it's like, you know, best, you know, whatever. It's supposed to be a bit more industry based as well. In the same way that the Oscars are for, like, you know, best editing, best film editing, that kind of stuff. You get those kind of awards, but they're not, did they go deep into the Grammys, like in terms of sound engineers and stuff like that? Did it go into like mixing and production and stuff like that? They do have
a wide array. They do. So there at the beginning, there were 30 different fields and 84 distinct award categories, and they've grown to a number I don't have in front of me right now, but I will get to at some stage throughout these notes, to include a lot more to do with production and engineering and including more songwriters and things like that. There's been a lot of overhaul. And actually, so that brings us, I suppose, to the 2012 overhaul in the Grammys. So this was April 2011. The Recording Academy came out and said, we are completely overhauling the categories that you can submit to your song or your album. And the number of categories at that stage was 109. They cut it down to 78. And the most important change there was the elimination of the distinction between male and female solo artists. So we don't have that anymore. We don't have best female solo artists, best male solo artists. And between collaborations and duo groups in different genres. And then also the several categories for instrumental soloists were discontinued as well. And they're all kind of pushed together under the general category for like best solo performances. So that's fine. But a lot of eliminations happened in the roots category. Up to and including 2011, there were separate categories for various regional American music forms like Hawaiian music, Native American music. But because of the consistently low number of entries for the categories, they decided to combine all of these into Best Regional Roots Music Album, including polka, which also lost its own category in 2009. There was big changes. Also, the main category, Best Classical Album, was discontinued because the people who were winning Best Classical Album were also winning Best Album or Best Newcomer or whatever it was. They were winning so much in other categories that they were like, right, we'll do away with that. And now classical music is eligible for the main Album of the Year category. And then there was some other kind of name changes. They decided that the word gospel in the gospel genre field conjures up kind of images and sounds of traditional soul gospel and leaves out current contemporary Christian music. So now that is renamed gospel/contemporary Christian music. And then in 2020, during the George Floyd protests, they announced that several urban, rap and Latin music categories were going to be renamed as well to kind of be more inclusive. So That's your backstory, right? But you want to win a Grammy. You're like, come on, how do I do it? How does the nomination process work?
What do I do? I have brilliant songs. Recognition is coming. You know, my Spotify streams are right up there. I'm on all these playlists. I'm touring around the world. It's happening for me.
This all sounds cool.
I'm this year's Phoebe Bridgers. Mm-hmm. I'm suddenly the darling of everybody. And I'm playing James Corden in my bathroom. And
you're ready to get that Grammy.
Smashing guitars and causing issues in online discourse.
Phoebe Bridgers' upcoming album, Smashing Guitars and Causing Issues. Okay, so the first thing you need to ask yourself is, for the 2021 Grammy Awards, did you release your work between September 1st, 2019 and August 31st, 2020? Because if you did, then you're in luck. You're eligible. So, and this kind of blew my mind today, a song that came out 5 months before the first case of COVID-19 was reported is eligible for this year's Grammy Awards, which like that is crazy. So it's a long stretch of time, and it's also a stretch of time that is like a very long time ago when you're actually looking at the Grammys, when you're at the ceremony. So it's a long, long, long process. So Taylor Swift's Shake It Off, which was the first single she released off 1989. She released that in mid-August in 2014. So the single was eligible for the 2015 Grammys, but the album, which wasn't released till the October, wasn't eligible until the 2016 Grammys, where she was nominated for Album of the Year and Best Pop Vocal Album. So you can have that where you have a song from an album 1 year and an album the next year kind of thing. The song has to be commercially released and sold in the United States to be eligible. So the Grammy guidelines state that an album has to be available for sale, they say on their site, through a broad distributor and not an artist's website. So we're talking Amazon, iTunes, big distributors. You have to be able to kind of buy it there. Otherwise, you won't be considered.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure. I mightn't have the answer, but
yeah. Well, in the world of streaming then, is the criteria changed where it'll actually mean you don't need to buy? Is it, or is it like streaming? Do you have to be available? Like, because people aren't really buying, and like Google Play has shut down its music store.
It doesn't matter how many people have bought it. It just means that they have to have the capability to buy it in the US. That's it.
Yeah.
So that's great. So your album is available to buy in the US. You can get it on iTunes.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, brilliant. Okay, so now we move on to the application. So the application process is long and arduous. The Academy gets over 20,000 entries per year. That is a stat from 4 years ago, and I imagine that it's probably more now. And 20,000 entries sounds like a lot, but when you consider the amount of music that's being produced the world over, that's a drop in the ocean. That's not a whole lot, really. And if you've made your album on a major label, your label might actually hold back your album for consideration, because the process of submitting it is so long and arduous that you're probably going to put all your eggs in the basket of the artist that is most likely to win you and your label a Grammy.
Right.
So they can hold back that submission in favor of an album that they think will have a better chance of winning. Smaller labels then might not have the manpower or the time to kind of go through the application process for an artist. And you can submit yourself, but as we'll see later, this might not yield the best results. You need backing going into it, and that is right. problematic. Also, when you're going in, it would be ideal for you to have hit a stride with your song or with your album, not necessarily your album, but to just have a lot of buzz around you between September and October of the previous year. And then after that, it's up to you to make sure that the people voting don't forget about you. And we'll see how artists have done that soon as well.
Is there a cost in submitting?
I don't think so.
Oh, interesting.
I'd have to double check that now, but not from anything I read.
I can't find anything.
There wasn't. About it. Yeah, there was nothing about a cost. I would have liked to have looked at this back when the submissions were open and tried to go through the process of submitting an album, but maybe next year. So yeah, so you can kind of stay in the minds of the judges by releasing new tracks, kind of coming up to the Grammys, making appearances, running campaigns. But like I said, more on that later. So that's great, right? So you've submitted, you filled in your form, you sent it off, lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Now we need to think about who the judges are. So, as listeners know, if they are in Ireland and follow the Choice Music Prize or listen to our Choice special, the judges for the Choice Music Prize are announced. So we know who they are, and we know where in music they come from. So with the Grammys, the only people that decide if your album either gets a nomination or wins are the Recording Academy voting members. These are, according to the Academy, a jury made up of peers. So we don't know who they are. They're secret. Only they can vote on the Grammy winners. Musicians, engineers, lyricists, producers, and liner note writers can all be...
A liner note writer. Interesting.
Yes, which I appreciate.
Because there is an award for best liner note.
Yes.
Which is kind of a weird Grammy to win.
I think that's... well, I think that's a great Grammy because, I mean, this is slightly off topic, but I mean, I think the art of the liner note is best felt in jazz, because I have some jazz records where the liner notes are they're works of art. They're absolutely brilliant. And I think they should come back. So there are four ways to become eligible to be a Grammy judge. So the first is, this is from the Grammys' own, the horse's mouth. First is, have been credited with 12 physical or digital tracks released online only and currently available for purchase with at least one track in the past 5 years. I don't know what the digital online only thing there means. I assume, oh, physical or digital tracks, or digital tracks released online only. Sorry. Yeah. 12 songs, you're in. Second way, have 6 credits on commercially released tracks currently available for sale and distributed through physical distribution outlets such as record stores with at least 1 track in the past 5 years. The third way is to have won a Grammy before.
Okay.
And the fourth way is to get an endorsement from a current voting member. So someone who's already on the committee can nominate you and you can come in and become a voter. It's not clear how many people there are on this committee or how well spread across jobs like engineers or musicians or whoever. Mm. It's all very secretive.
I looked at Billboard today and this is what I found out recently. They've recently invited 2,300 members in the last couple of years. On 51% of them are under 40 because they're trying to change the demographic and age demographic to be a younger age group, which is welcome. It's apparently in November they welcomed a new class of 1,300 voters, basically 40% of whom were women. Still not enough, probably. It said that 37% of the entire Royal Recording Academy are of people of color. That's 37%. But that's actually just the Recording Academy. I'm not sure about the voting itself.
Yes.
But it says you also have to be in good standing with your dues. So
yes. So you pay $100 of yearly dues to be a member of this academy. And you also have to meet the above criteria. So you're in and you're a member of the voting people. Each member votes in the 4 main categories, which are record of the year, album of the year, song of the year, and best new artist. And then they also vote in 9 other categories each. So if you are a liner note writer, you will be voting in the liner notes category. If you're
right.
A hip-hop producer, you'll be voting in the hip-hop categories, that kind of thing, just to make sure that the expertise is kind of is spread where it needs to be spread, which is good. And then so that's for the nominations, but then when they're choosing the winners, they vote again for the big 4, and then they vote in 20 genre categories again related to who they are. But it is not as straightforward as that. So back in the mid-90s, the Academy created a special committee to review the nominees and the choices of the voting committee. So this is a quote I have. This committee goes over the nominations for the top 4 categories, plus the country, R&B, Latin, gospel, jazz, classical, and music video categories. Then they make adjustments if they feel adjustments are needed. Basically all the categories that drive television ratings, as well as categories in speciality genres, can be rigged by this undisclosed private committee. That's a quote from a Vox article I was reading, which was a lot of help when I was researching this. It was established because Lionel Richie's Can't Slow Down album won Album of the Year over Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. And everyone was like, well, that's insane. There's no, like, if you'd said to me, name a Lionel Richie album, Can't Slow Down wouldn't have been one that I could name, you know, like, no, come on. And it also beat out Prince's Purple Rain. So there was a kind of a sense then that the Grammys were kind of that they were cut off from what good music was, and that there was something amiss there. So there's a journalist who was a member of the committee who spoke to the LA Times in 1999. He spoke to Robert Hilburn. This person is off the record and unnamed, but was a member of the committee. So they said, the goal in each category is to take 20 nominations that the members send forth and get the list down to a consensus of the 7 or 8 that we feel are the best. The committee are nominating 20 this secret group are like, we'll pick the best seven. We'll pick the seven that feel the most right.
And we don't know anything about the makeup of the people on the committee or their age, their demographic, anything like that.
This group is completely secret. Nobody knows who they are. The quote goes on, "When we get that consensus, we stop. Each member of the committee then filled out a ballot which isn't tabulated that day. So when we leave the room, no one knows the results. The only ones who know are the accountants when they tabulate it later." That committee can decide regardless of what your peers have voted. Like if you're putting an album forward in Best Jazz Album, we don't know how much of that committee is made up of jazz experts or jazz musicians, but they will decide based on who knows, like what will work well in the press, what will work best.
We don't know the criteria
on TV. Like it's being rigged in that way. I think rigged is a fair word to use, actually, because it's not a straightforward voting process, and it still has to go through this. So then you come to this thing when you are submitting your album or your song as to whether or not you should submit it as in a genre category or in the big four categories. So the screening committee, which is the secret committee, they decide which albums will be on the initial ballot that voters use to pick the five nominees in each category. Members of the screening committee are not necessarily voting members, but are instead industry experts that include journalists, radio DJs, label executives, and creators of music themselves. So the rules with genre categories, they state that an album has to be 51% genre to be nominated in a category.
Oh, deadly. That's a great album title.
51% genre. So you could have, you know, you could have 12 songs. I'm making myself do maths now. You could have 12 songs on an album, and as long as seven of them are hip hop, it doesn't matter.
Or 6.1.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if the other five are experimental folktronica. You can be nominated in the hip hop category.
Wow.
So, like there's this quote here from a journalist who said, some albums are easy to categorize while others pose more of a challenge. Where, for instance, is the line between dancehall and electronica or rap and alternative? This is how an album like Iggy Azalea's The New Classic gets nominated as both a rap album and best pop duo group performance. Bring the hook scene where the bass at. Champagne spilling, you should taste that. I'm so fancy. As long as an album's 51%, it can be categorized as either of those things. And the closer that it is to mainstream music, the better chance you have of sneaking it into several different genres, and having a big name and recognition can kind of help with that as well. Because you can get somebody to jump on a couple of tracks for you with you. Like Charlie XCX could get six different rappers to jump on her album. And all of a sudden, she's not only nominated in the best pop category, she's also nominated in best rap performance or whatever it is. And all of that is really...
How weird would that be?
That was hypothetical.
So, are mixtapes eligible?
No, I don't believe they are. No. Okay, Denise Tyler will have to release an album to be eligible. Okay. I'm afraid.
Damn it, lad. Sorry about that.
So right, you're in. You've been nominated. Okay. You've gotten past the secret committee.
I'm so happy.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's finally happening for me.
That's great.
I've been writing about music for years. Now I've released this album.
And now you can just sit back and wait for the award show. Ha, no you don't. There's way more work to do. So, campaigning. 4-year consideration campaigns. It's something that we would usually associate with the Oscars because they are incredibly blatant and cynical. And it's something that I think a lot of people kind of shun and look down on. And I think especially music people would find the idea of doing a 4-year consideration campaign really embarrassing, but they do happen. And they are getting bigger every year. In 2018, Camila Cabello, she was nominated for 2 Grammys. So as part of her campaign, she took out a 40-foot highway-side billboard in Los Angeles with her image and the words "For Your Grammy Consideration" on it. Now, a billboard in that area of LA can cost $15,000 a month to rent. So there is money behind that. There is a lot of money. Taylor Swift in the same year, she sent around something called a VIP box. I tried so hard to find out what was in it. And I could not. I was trying to find photos of it. I didn't know. What I can only guess is that there was like cupcakes, maybe like a copy of her album, a sweater. Well, no, that would be for this year's one. You get an Elle sweater, pictures of her cats. Yeah, at this time it would have been like Polaroids, the 1989 kind of
private Polaroids. That would be a good
private
one,
Polaroids. Yeah, and so labels also, if you're backing your artist, or you the artist, if your label is backing you, they will push you to take part in these Grammy Foundation events and secure voter-friendly media bookings before the Grammys. So in 2016, for example, Kendrick Lamar did Austin City Limits for PBS and did like a really big interview with NPR, which are both things that he probably wouldn't have done kind of if it wasn't for this nomination and as part of this campaign. Okay. He also said that year, he was like, I want to win them all. So he was going for it, and more power to him. I think he did end up winning Best Rap that year. There are also allegedly, right? So this is when I was getting like really deep into into all of this. There are these mailing lists, allegedly, which have lists of the names of the voters that artists can pay to get access to. According to Rolling Stone, there are also back channel methods. Monique Grimme, G-R-I-M-M-E, I'm not sure how to pronounce that surname, co-owner of New Jersey indie label Bongo Boy Records, networked, gained access to a voter-only message board and several secret Facebook groups, and compiled a list of 8,000 probable voters. Clients can pay $125, not that much, for her to send an email blast to her list highlighting a group or an artist. So she's making a few bucks.
Can I just say I love the word email blast. So American.
Email blast. Yeah. Yeah. Like her newsletter. Or like,
yeah.
Here,
email blast.
You should vote. Yeah. President of Glassnotes Records told Rolling Stone in 2018, it gets more intense every year. I'm getting hit personally as a voter with "for your consideration, please vote for me" emails that I've not seen at this level. The lines of decorum and class are being broken down. So he's not happy.
Decorum.
Decorum, yes. Not something I would have traditionally associated with the Grammys, but there you go. And then this woman, Patience Foster, who worked on Cardi B's team during the run-up to, this is from Billboard, during the run-up to the 61st Grammy Awards, thinks the rapper's memorable Jimmy Kimmel Live appearance in October 2018, during which she cracked jokes about new motherhood, was crucial to winning Rap Album of the Year for Invasion of Privacy.
She's very feisty. Uh-huh. And you know what? My husband used to tell me, like, stop screaming and stop catching that attitude when you're pregnant because you're going to pass that to the baby. And it's like, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
A lot of that was calculated, says Foster, who owns the PR firm The Cream Agency. For 2020, she thinks Cardi's colorful social media presence will keep February's retro Bruno Mars collaboration, Please Me, fresh on voters' minds. Even Cardi B's doing it, you know. And then these artists, while they're out on tour, you can take part in a meet and greet that that takes place at one of 12 Grammy chapter offices. And you go and you meet people and you have conversations. And I'm not saying that money exchanges hands. I'm not saying
you're
that.
You're not.
No. And then as well as that, the Grammys have the Grammy Museum in conversation events where it's kind of like an interview sort of thing. Okay. Something that Dua Lipa did ahead of her win in 2019. She did an in conversation event, which couldn't have hurt.
And the Grammy goes to
Dua Lipa.
This is all as well as taking out ads in magazines and publications like you would see with the Oscars. But with the Grammys, it can be a little bit sneakier. So people have kind of figured out that if you take out an ad in something like Mix Magazine or Tape Op, it's a good idea because voting members are also like engineers and producers. And these are the kinds of magazines that are lying around in, you know, recording studios that people are going to pick up and have a look at and be like, oh, Dua Lipa, I'll vote for her. Great. And I think it does highlight the disparity that exists between like the artists that have the backing of the big labels and the artists that don't. You know, it is insane like that these campaigns are bought. Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. There's also Grammy mixers, which are organized by the voting members, by the judges, where you as an artist or a label rep or a manager, whoever you are, get face-to-face time with the member of the voting committee, which to me sounds really weird and strange. I can't imagine imagine being a choice judge and being like, come to my party, everyone who's nominated.
I'm here now.
Yeah. And then just everyone coming and being like really nice to you, giving you little presents. Yeah.
Come here and tell me how great I am.
Yeah. Now, I should say the Academy have strict, very, very strict rules on their that are available on their website about bribes and lobbying. Maybe they're followed, maybe they're not. Maybe blind eyes are turned. Who's going to say no to a gift basket from Taylor Swift? So basically, you need to run a really, 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 really good campaign. And then maybe at the end of it, you'll win a Grammy if the secret group society thing decide that you're the right person to win it. If all of that, how does all of that sound to you?
Press flesh. A lot of work. And presumably, like, do you think the Fontaines DC were doing meet and greets for their Grammy nomination? I doubt it.
No. Well, this year, no, obviously not. But I mean,
but even virtual ones. Oh, that's even weirder. Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't see it happening. But if Fontaines DC winning kind of serves a kind of a purpose for the Grammys, then this secret committee, they're not called the secret committee, I'm just calling them that. I can't remember what they're actually called.
Well, they don't have a name and we don't know who their members are.
Secret committee. Then they'll choose them. Or if somebody else serves the Grammys, then they'll choose them. It seems to be a lot less about merit and a lot more about who runs the best campaign or what will this as a story mean for the Grammys. So I bring you on to a section that I enjoy of my own notes called Notable Snubs, because around...
Oh, yes. Oh, this is everyone's favorite bit.
Yeah. So around this time of year, all of the music websites are just aplomb with articles that are like, so-and-so has snubbed the Grammys, and it's all very exciting. So this year, Zayn Malik, who was neither nominated nor eligible to be nominated, tweeted, fuck.
Yeah, I read
this. Yeah, very important to say, not eligible. Did not release music during the allotted time.
So he just, he made a fuss, right?
He
made a complete fuss.
Did an email blast. He said, fuck the Grammys and everyone associated. Unless you shake hands and send gifts, there's no nomination considerations. Next year, I'll send you a basket of confectionery. Mixed messages there from the ex.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to play your game, but next year I'm going to play your game.
Oh man, I'm going to play your game next year.
So I'm going to play your game so hard.
You are not going to be able to move for the confectionery you're going to get. The Weeknd, also in the news. received no nominations for his album After Hours, or for the song Blinding Lights, which actually I think should have been well in there with a nomination for Song of the Year.
That is strange. That is a strange
omission. It is weird.
More than an omission, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a snub. No, that is like, yeah, there's no way. Whatever about The Weeknd as a person, don't like him. He's homophobic. But track of the year then, like, because that, you know, the producers, the people that worked on that track deserve a bit of recognition. But anyway, he says, the Grammys remain corrupt. This is on Twitter. The Grammys remain corrupt. You owe me, my fans, and the industry transparency. And I can't say I disagree with him there. Snubs in the past, 2011, Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, was snubbed for a nomination for Best Album, despite being one of the most critically acclaimed albums of the year. Mm. Los Angeles Times journalist Randall Roberts said about that, the major nominations for the 54th annual awards clearly show that the Recording Academy has been working overtime to be all-inclusive, but more significantly, they also reveal a deep chasm between its goals and the listening habits of the general population. The focus is still on the old music industry model of cash cow hits, major label investments, and commercial radio. I mean, Kanye not being nominated for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is insane. Or you'd think it was until you now understand how it actually works, and that this is not a game I see Kanye West playing, you know.
Yeah, I had a funny thought there, just like, you know, some of the artists that give out about, like, first of all, not being nominated, I wonder how many of those were the result of a clerical error where somebody in the label forgot to enter or didn't do it properly.
Yeah.
And they're just like, let's let them go hard on it. It's fine.
Oh,
it's fine.
He's on Twitter. He's after tweeting. We can't tell him now. We cannot tell him now. He will leave.
Yeah. Like, in the meetings, he was like, oh, no, I don't really care about the Grammys. And now he's like, oh, going off on it. So a lot of the people that are talking about this at the moment are talking about that transparency idea around the committees. The Weeknd said, because of the secret committees, I will no longer allow my label to submit my music to the Grammys. Halsey, who she's like an exclusively American pop entity, I think, really.
Yeah,
I
mean, she's like a...
There's a few people like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was with the Chainsmokers and stuff. While I'm thrilled for my talented friends who are recognized this year, I'm hoping for more transparency or reform, aka put me in next year. I want to be in.
Yeah. Bon Iver said, you know, I was thinking, someone asked me and I was like, so someone had asked him, if you're nominated for a Grammy, would you go? And he said, I would go. And I don't think the Bon Iver record is the kind of record that will get nominated for a Grammy. I would get up there and be like, this is for my parents because they supported me, because I know they would think it would be stupid of me not to go up there. But I kind of felt like going up there and being like, everyone should go home. This is ridiculous. We should not be doing this. We should not be gathering in a big room and looking at each other and pretending that this is important. That's what I would say, which I like. I like that. And then in an article for the Huffington Post, music executive Steve Stout, it's Stout with an E at the end, he criticized the Grammys because they quote lost touch with contemporary culture, and he noted two reasons for that. The first is an overzealousness to produce a popular show that is at odds with its own system of voting, and number two is a fundamental disrespect of cultural shifts as being viable and artistic. So he accused the Academy of snubbing artists that have a big cultural impact, and like rap artists winning major awards in rap categories, not winning album of the year, like snubs for, he cited successes with like Eminem's The Marshall Mathers LP and Kanye West Graduation in the album of the year category. There does seem to be this kind of sense that the Grammys is trying to be a competition or an award show that is looking only at the art itself. But as we've seen, it's not about that at all. And you have to take kind of cultural trends and shifts into consideration when you are considering. Which brings us actually to the idea of race and the Grammys, which has not been good. Like,
no.
Because we don't know anything about the voting committee, we don't know anything about the breakdown in representation or traditionally. And certainly year on year, we don't know how many of those 47% or 37% or whatever it was are actually going to be voting this year. The Grammys have historically favored white men in both awards and the kind of performances on the night. So in 2017, Drake accused them of not seeing him as a pop artist, actually, and boxing him into hip hop categories. So Hotline Bling was nominated for Best Rap Song and Best Rap / Sung Performance, despite it not being a rap song. Like that Hotline Bling is a pop song, but it didn't make it in the pop category. Since 1957, since the beginnings of the awards, only 10 black artists have won Album of the Year. And from 2007 to 2017, there were 17 non-white artists nominated for Album of the Year in those 10 years. The only winner, and this is like the final kick in the teeth, was Herbie Hancock in 2008, whose album was a collection of Joni Mitchell folk covers. Like, so...
Oh...
It's not good. Yeah. So like, oh yeah, in that 10-year span, then, one black person won because they covered a white lady's songs. You know, it's not great.
And then there's the accusations of being out. Then there's the accusations of being out of touch, and the albums that have won over more well-known albums. Like, so I can think of, remember the 2014 Grammys where Macklemore won Best Rap Album over Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City, which is just insane. The next year, Beyonce's self-titled album lost out to Beck's Morning Phase, not his best work, but certainly no patch on Beyonce's album.
Adele winning over Beyonce?
Adele won over Beyonce, yeah. And then Kendrick's To Pimp a Butterfly lost out on the Album of the Year to Taylor Swift's 1989. So.
Yeah. In 2019 was the first time that a rap artist won major award nominations outside of the rap categories, when Childish Gambino won Song of the Year and Record of the Year. And that was the first time that a rap song had won outside of the kind of hip hop rap categories. 2019. Like, they started in like 1957, so getting there slowly, maybe, right. I don't know.
What are they trying to do to address that balance?
Nothing that I can see.
That balance, or
well, I mean, the only thing, like the more I look at this in terms of representation, and I mean, I didn't actually include notes on representation of women, but it lies somewhere between men and black people in that it's not as good as the men, but not as bad as representation with black artists.
The chief executive, Neil Portnow, made that comment about a few years ago before he stepped down. He was forced to step down, essentially, about the number of women in music. He said they should step up if they want recognition. And that was an absolute howler of a statement that led to him being basically taken out off his job, because he was seen to be, he was perpetuating the out of touch idea that is now widespread around the Grammys completely. And then it came an interesting thing where when they were trying to address it, and they brought in Deborah Duggan, and she was in the job for 5 months, and it just became, first of all, it was like, oh, this is an agent of change. She's going to come in and help us change the thing. But she was dismissed after 5 months, and just days before last year's ceremony, the Academy said she mistreated an employee, but she said she retaliated against for criticizing the institutions. She said in a legal complaint, she accused the Academy of voting improprieties and rampant conflicts of interest. So there's somebody on the inside. That case is currently in arbitration, so both sides are not currently talking about it. But maybe something will come out about that in the future, when we'll actually hear a bit more about these secret committees that happen around these voting blocks and things like that.
The only way really that the Grammys can claw back some semblance of notoriety in the music business, I mean, it definitely has its place within the entertainment industry, but in terms of the music business, there's not a whole lot of respect for the process. And I think that's primarily crucially down to the secretive voting system and the ways in which you have to spend money to win a Grammy. On your path to from making your album to winning a Grammy, you need a lot of money. You need to strategically release your album, your songs. You need to be collaborating with people. You need to be out there hustling. You need to be doing like NPR interviews. You need to be going to Grammy parties. You need to be like stopping by the offices just to say, hey, you need to be sending gift baskets. And then at the end of all of that, you also need to decide that your album, which is a pop album, should actually like probably doesn't stand a chance in the pop category. So maybe you should just put it in the hip hop category, which is something that you and people like you have traditionally done for many years. And it segregates the music. Like there are black artists who are in category who are excluded from the big four because their labels think that they will have more of a chance of winning Best Rap Album, which holds less clout or less notoriety than Album of the Year, when they absolutely would have been eligible for Album of the Year. So, you know, so it's not great. And what we've learned here is that the Grammys, like the Oscars, like all of these things, you have to rely on gaming the system, making sure that you're nominated in the category that would see it win, as opposed to the category that it most represents, and that there's a secret group that decide the nominees. We don't know who they are, so none of it matters anyway.
So there are like they're huge. They're just it's a lovely line to put on your bio for sure, and it definitely gives you a lot of clout for some certain situations. But same time, you know, I think the other push and pull about the Grammys, other than the very questionable reward process, is that, you know, like we've kind of touched on already, you are trying to award people for the work that they have done. That's the ideal, but then the way people like Zayn Malik and The Weeknd look at it is like, I'm not being rewarded for my success. My success is not being recognized here. That is what that is for. And that creates that kind of friction between like people who want to win a Grammy because of their popularity and their success, as opposed to, you know, they're supposed to be on the songwriting and on the recording process and all those kind of things. So it becomes this other thing that even the people who are giving out about it and criticizing it don't really see it in the same way as what they're intended to be originally. And like,
yeah, and I'm sure it's important really to note distorted. That the Grammy, the process of both nominating and selecting a winner, they do not look at sales. So you're like, in an ideal world, ideally, your album could have sold 100 copies in the United States or 100,000 copies in the United States. It shouldn't matter. Now, obviously, it does matter, because if your album sold 100 copies in the United States, then you probably aren't spending $15,000 on a billboard. But they don't take you know, those sorts of metrics of success into it. So they I guess newcomer of the year or new artist of the year, you'd kind of have to. Like Phoebe Bridgers is a good example this year. Not a new artist. Punisher was her third record, but due to the year that she's had and due to her kind of emergence as a figure in the industry that isn't any longer on the fringes, then that category, sure, you should probably be looking at things like sales or things like television appearances and things like that. But besides that, you shouldn't be. But obviously, that's not the case.
Yeah.
And that's how you win a Grammy. So good luck, everyone.
Great. Okay. And I say with the Fontaines, for example, the nomination, do you think it actually will help their career? I mean, it probably will help their career
that's in terms the thing.
Of making inroads into the American music industry.
It will. It will. It 100% will. And I think this is why people want to win Grammys. People want to win Grammys because there is an undeniable uptake in people buying your record after you've won a Grammy. Because like, you know yourself, even with you and I, like if we're talking about Grammy winners some year and someone's won it, like Casey Musgraves or somebody who we wouldn't usually listen to, and we're like, oh, that one album of the year or that one record of the year, whatever, you immediately go and stream it and listen to it. So it is a kind of a,
and I think
it's an advertisement for your album.
Yeah, I can think of the artist Her, who was nominated again this year, as one of those artists that I only exclusively saw for a good while in Grammys and similar award ceremonies. It was like very much an American hero for a long, long time. Only up until last year did she start to like release songs. I mean, obviously no one was touring last year, so it became more of a worldwide thing last year than it was previously. It was very much a curious, Her. She's this artist who plays these amazing guitar solos and does R&B stuff and is always on the Grammys. And you're like, yeah, it's a Grammy curio. It's like those kind of people who get nominated and win and like best dance album. There's a producer called Madion who's been around for years. He's a French guy now. He's only like, I think he's quite young still, actually. He's only 26, but he's the kind of artist that would be nominated. He was nominated this year alongside stuff like Bauer, and just like, you're like, oh, EDM, that's what it is. Oh, it's an EDM award.
And yeah, really, yeah. Sure, and I mean, you get
what's
that.
What's happening there?
You get a lot of producers, labels, engineers who keep cropping up because these are people who can work across genres with many different artists, and if they're working with a label or they're working with some kind of backing, then there's no limit really to how many times they can get nominated for a Grammy, you know, whereas with artists there is a limit. You kind of are only ever going to put out one album in that space of time, or one song or whatever it might be. But I mean, all of this is to say, like, I'm not trying to like take anything away from the people who've won. Obviously there is merit and, you know, congratulations, but the Grammys isn't as straightforward. There's an excellent interview he was speaking about the Oscars. There's an excellent interview with Jesse Eisenberg and Richard Ayoade on an American podcast, and they were talking about the film The Double that Richard Ayoade directed and Jesse Eisenberg starred in. And the interviewer asked Jesse Eisenberg, like, oh, you were nominated for an Oscar for The Social Network. How did that feel? Was that amazing? Blah, blah, blah. And Jesse Eisenberg was like, no, honestly, I felt embarrassed by the whole thing, because you get nominated for an Oscar because your studio has decided that you're their best chance at winning an Oscar that year. So you dress up and you go to the ceremony, and like when you win, it's like, okay, great, now the studio's happy. But when you win, you're like, I've won because they ran the best for your consideration campaign. I didn't win for my performance or my craft. And that really kind of opened my eyes to how a lot of people in acting view the Oscars, and to how it is so at odds with how the public, like the kind of movie going public, view the Oscars. Like we see a film winning best film and we assume that it was the best film, but actually that's not necessarily the case. The best film might have been made in Argentina and wasn't even submitted for the Oscars because they couldn't run a for your consideration campaign. And it seems from everything I've been reading today about the Grammys that it's very much a similar sort of a similar sort of situation with that.
I have two little factoids to share with you before we finish up. One is that in 1980 they awarded the only time they ever awarded this was the Grammy Award for Best Disco Recording. Now it's not the only time they've done it.
Of course, this is before. Your fact. What a Nile fact.
Yeah, I was like, I saw that one. I was like, I'm going to give you this. So the nominees were Michael Jackson, Don't Stop to Get Enough, Donna Summer, Dim All the Lights, Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart, Earth, Wind & Fire, Boogie Wonderland, and the winning choice was Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive.
Very good.
Okay, and we were to bring it all back home, and, you know, Fontaine's DC being nominated and all that kind of stuff, and anyone who in Ireland who thinks they might have a chance at the Grammy in the future. Well, there's a betting site that is currently taking bets on Irish acts to win a Grammy by the end of 2025. So if you want a long bet, there are names there So look, these are people who we interviewed, Gemma Dunleavy, last week. She has 16 to 1 if you want to put down a bet on Gemma to win a Grammy by the end of 2025. You got Sorka Richardson in there, For Those I Love, Monjola, Shiv, Denise Chyla is 10 to 1. Fontaines DC are obviously in there. Dermot Kennedy is in there as well. Look, you just never know. You just never know.
You never know.
So you have to dream big. But there's a band called The Clockworks who are managed by Alan McGee. They're an Irish band, and they're on this list. So you never know. Steve Staunton is also on it. I think that's because it's a sports website, and somebody wanted a 200-to-1 outsider bet of Steve Staunton doing an album. So we await that before to win a Grammy before 2025. But I would say,
who's your money on now?
Stranger things have happened. My money is not on. It's probably on any people who aren't even on that list. It's on Picture This. Okay, it's on Picture This. Okay, fine. No, I don't know. It's something. Somebody who doesn't currently release music will, from Ireland, will win a Grammy by 2025. Me.
Mm. We might be saying this now.
My spoken word album. Fontaine's my spoken DC word album. That's it.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we might be making these jokes while Fontaines DC are currently Grammy winners. So we just don't know. We don't know.
If that's the case, I will edit this out.
And well done to the lads. Good on you. Okay, so that's how you win a Grammy, everyone.
That's
best
it.
Of luck. Looking forward
that's
to hearing the
you
album.
Win a Grammy. Off you go. Off you go and sort yourself out with that.
Yep.
We'll be back next week. I think we're going to be talking about something else that's very topical at the moment. You may have seen some talk about NFTs or nifties or whatever you want to call them.
Are they being called nifties?
And explaining. Well, I'm calling them nifties for the crack.
Okay.
Well, you may have seen a lot about NFTs, so we will be talking about those next week and delving into what that means for music and why people are using them. So we'll be talking about that next week. In the meantime, thanks for all of your shout outs and listens and retweets and especially like telling your mates and joining us on the Patreon and joining us on the Discord. It's patreon.com/909 if you want to join us there. Andrea has a Substack and she just put out a newsletter, a really good piece this week.
I did. I put out a piece this week about it's okay that you didn't do anything during lockdown. Don't worry. It's fine. That's andreacleary.substack.com. And shout out to everyone on the Discord. You're all the OGs.
Very good. All right.
See you next
brilliant.
Week.
That's brilliant. We'll be back. See ya.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.